Well, I'd appreciate your prayers. I'd like to think a little tonight about self-will. I want to tell you that it's dangerous. Thinking about, I've had the privilege of having 9 children, and I can tell you from my experience with my own life and being a parent that we're pretty well born with it. We're born with a real strong idea of getting our own way. And at times I'll just be amazed. I'll hear an awful screaming and and commotion, and I'll say, "What's that?" Well, they didn't get their way. And now all of that over that little thing, they didn't get the drink that they wanted, or they didn't get the cookie, or they didn't get the toy, or all of that commotion that sometimes don't die down for quite a long time. You have to deal with it. And we'll say, well, that's children, but children left to their own will bring their mother shame. I mean, it's something that you have to deal with. If you've had, you know, you have to deal with it. Years ago, I won't tell just who it was, but one of my children, everything was just peaceful and going well, and they, simple little thing, they tore off a piece of paper and threw it in the floor. Yeah, listen, that's not a big offense. And I simply said, pick that up. Don't throw paper in the, pick that up and put it in the trash. And they just kind of stiffened and just looked at me. And I'm like, now that was pretty simple instructions to understand. And I'm like, pick it up and put it in the trash. It's like, what? I mean, now listen, the paper wasn't the offense, but the disobedience is. It's not that it's an offense against me. It's a problem in life. It's going to be a problem that you can't take authority. You can't take the idea that somebody or somebody else can tell me what I don't want to do, I don't have to do. So I said, listen, pick it up and put it in the trash, or you're going to get a spanking for it. But it's not optional that you get to pick one or the other. You get a spanking, then put it in the trash. But you're going to put the paper in the trash. And my child was actually saying, I mean, I'm talking a little child told me no. So it began. I kept my promise. Now I know it's not popular in the world today, but it's still necessary. It's necessary because there's something there that's valuable. And so I kept my promise and gave the spanking and said, now put the paper in the trash. It would have ended it. It was going on. Well, I'm going to tell you something. If you're not willing to carry it through, don't start it. It's worse to lose the battle than not to start the battle, because the offense wasn't near as bad as being determined in the will. So I kept the promise again. Now do it. Folks, listen. 7 times. I was wearing out. This was not easy. It's apparent. My child actually put the paper over top of the trash can and was begging me to knock it out of the child's hand, because that wouldn't have been their will. That would have been me forcibly bigger than them, making them do something that's going to do. And so, knock it out of my hand, knock it out of my hand. No, you're going to let go of it. I'm going to tell you, it was worth it. Something happened. Now you may say, well, that's a child. But I'm going to tell you right here, we We can be determined to get our way. We can be determined. If I don't get my way, I'm going to act a certain way. I'm going to have a certain attitude over you, or I'm going to make your life miserable, or I'm going to do something that is only ascribed with self-will. I'm going to get my way over you one way or the other. I'm going to get my way over God, what God wants me to do, the way God wants me to respond, the way God wants me to act. I know what it is. I know how God wants me to be. But I'm going to act the way Lord, send a storm. God, Lord, knock it out of my hand. Lord, make me do something that I don't want to do if you want it done. Wouldn't it be better if we could learn to submit our will? The song was beautiful. The song was talking about, Lord, I want to live for you. I want to give till I can't give anymore. It's my pleasure to get my will connected with your will. Lord, all you've got to do is tell me what your desire is, and it's my desire too. That's illustrated real well in one of my favorite stories. My children used to say to me, Dad, are you going to tell that story again? Are you going to talk about David's men? Well, I'm going to, children. I'm going to tell it one more time. David had some mighty men. David was up, and the garrison of the Philistines was in Bethlehem. And David says, I long for a drink of water from the well of Bethlehem. There was three mighty men. That's all it was. It was not a command. They didn't have to do it. They wasn't going to lose rank if they didn't. They wasn't going to lose anything. But they said, our king, our beloved king, the one that we love and give our allegiance to, he wants a drink of water. That's enough. That's enough. All he said was, I long for a drink, and they hazarded their lives, folks. Listen, they went up against the enemy. They could have died for a mere drink of water. He didn't say he didn't have water. They probably had water. Probably was in goat skins. Probably the skins probably sloshed around. It was probably 110 degrees. Probably wasn't satisfying. He knew there was water in the ground down there that was cool and refreshing. And he wanted it. He just longed for a drink of it. And those men went down there and took on the enemy and got the water and brought it back to David. That's a heart. That's the heart of giving ourselves to God. It shouldn't be a battle all the time. How do I prove it to me? Make me to know. I don't want to do no struggling and striving with it. Our wills always stressing against God. God wants us to give our wills up to Him. Say, Lord, that's the way I look at the scriptures. I look at the scripture for there's a lot of book here. Does it do any good to strong arm people and make them dress right? Not watch what they shouldn't watch. Listen to what they should listen to and not listen. Does it help the strong arm people? No. Then what's it all about then? It's all about a heart that wants what God wants. And this is what tells us what God wants. That's what it really is about. It's about finding out what God really wants and then me giving it to God. From my own heart, my own life, Lord, if that's what you want in my life, that's what I want to be. You want me to trust in you? Then, Lord, help me to trust in you with all my heart. Give all my heart to trust in God in every aspect of my life because I want to please God. I want to please the Lord with my life. He's everything to me, and I want to do that. Rather than having the idea, and Lord, we do this, I know the feelings of it. I know what it's about. If I don't get my way, if I don't get my will, I want to ask you something tonight. Do you want your way? I mean, every man's way is right in his own eyes. I mean, don't you want your way? What would you do to get your way? Wouldn't it be nice if you always got your way? I'm asking that as a question because there is an answer to it. Do you want your way, really? Your way is a bad way. Your way is not going to lead to a good end most of the time. The only way our way is worth anything is if our way is God's way. When I can yield myself into the Lord, that's valuable. Little children are expected to be little children. We was in there was a Gander Mountain. We went in, it was closing out, was in there. And there was this little boy over there. And just now that he started a cutting up, I guess he didn't get his way. And he started a screaming and a fussing. He was down on the floor. He was a kicking and a throbbing. His mother was saying, get in that bucket. Had a little carry. Get in there. And he wasn't getting in there. And so he stretched out on the floor. He got out on the floor. And the mother was like looking at the other woman with her. I mean, I assume it was the mother. He had her there. And it was embarrassing. I was embarrassed for him. It was so embarrassing. But I know what he wanted. He wanted his way. That's what we can do too. Against God. Lord, I'm going to stiffen up. I'm going to struggle. I'm going to strive. I want my way. And I'm going to try to figure out how to do it. Now listen, most of us, we get up to adults and we know how to manipulate things and make things look and make it look okay that I'm fighting for my way and will, but you don't know it. Now, some people ain't as good as others. Some people it shows out better than others, and you say, I just want their way. And others know how to manipulate and turn around. It's all the same to God, because he knows the intent of the heart. Let's look at scripture in Romans. Oh, this is quite a reading. I'll go back to 21. Romans 1 and 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were unthankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they become fools, and change the glory of the uncorruptible God into the image made like unto corruptible man, and to birds, and to four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use unto that which is against nature. And likewise also men, leaving the natural use of the woman, and burned in their lust one toward the other, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, this is what I want to get to, that they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Folks, if you want your way long enough and hard enough, the unfortunate truth is that God will give it to you.
That's true.
Because they didn't want, listen, think of the idea of retaining God in your knowledge. Folks, I want to tell you something. You ought to want to retain God in your knowledge, in your understanding, that God is an influence into our hearts and lives and the decisions that we make in life. Everything that we do ought to have an element of God's choice in it, of what God chooses for our life, what God wants for our life, God's will, or God's way in our lives. These people did not want to retain the knowledge that in everything that I do, how ought I do this? Sometimes we run into what's called scruples. What should I do about a certain thing in my life? Should I keep this money that I found? Should I turn it in? What's the right thing to do? Retain God in your knowledge. Retain God for how ought I respond in this? The best thing to do in that is to say, well, Lord, what do you want me to do with it? Not that I'm preset that, hey, listen, but if I find money, it's mine. Well, that might be a good thing, but what if God says, no, that's not the way I want you to be. It's not yours. There's some poor guy that lost the money, and he's looking for it to get it back, trying to get it back to him. But it says in this that they didn't want to retain God in their knowledge. Does this ring a bell with you today? Where is God in our world today? When people start making arguments about lifestyles, where's God at? Where's the knowledge of God at in the idea of how we ought to do things, how we ought to respond to things? Where's God at? Well, right off, when I look and people are start saying, it's really, really hard for me to segment myself out into the carnal mind to deal with carnal things. Paul said to some people one time, he said, I'll deal with you as in carnal, give you some carnal advice, because I can't give you spiritual advice because you're not spiritual. So I'm going to give you the best carnal advice that I can. You ever try that? I give carnal advice sometimes. I'm saying just natural advice. Because people's not saved, they're not spiritual, not looking to God, so you give them the best you can. You know, it's really hard for me to do that because I want to say, get saved. I want to say, hey, get saved and live for God, and you don't have to have all this stuff. But if you're not going to do that, I'm going to try to give you some kind of advice. But it's just my opinion. It may not be made good, not bad. It's what I've learned of life or whatever. But the best thing is live for God. Live for the Lord. Retain God in your knowledge. Retain God in your understanding. Don't be self-willed about things. You know, when we don't retain God in our knowledge and we go on and making the decisions of ourselves, we're basically slapping God in the face. We're slapping the Christ that come to help us in the face, saying, we don't need you, Lord, to help us through this life. We got it done. We're getting better and better. Now I want to ask you something. Do you really think that this United States, or this world in general, is getting better? Are we becoming, well, we're more technological. We're learning better about things. So we must be getting better as people, right? We're more loving and more kind and more gentle and less prejudiced and less bigoted than we've ever been before. Right? As a country? Well, nobody's agreeing here. No, wait a minute. What are you doing? Well, the truth of it is the more that we don't retain God in our knowledge, the more the decisions made are outside of God's realms. People are making God by their own, or making their decisions by their own self-will, their own self-determination about things, how they want things to be. We're talking about, I mean, it's amazing. Sister Maxine touched in on it today. Some of the debates about, I mean, about where you go to the bathroom at. I mean, those kind of debates. Where's God in the knowledge of people and the decisions they're making? I can go to the scriptures and tell you about marriage. I can go to there about tell you about money. I can tell you about investing. I can tell you about saving. I can tell you about how to live right, about working. The Bible says something on all of it. It's about how to retain God in your knowledge about how to live your life. How ought I to treat my neighbor? What should I be willing to do for them? How should I treat my wife? Wife, what does she do to your husband? It's all in the book. It's all in God's will. And we will strive and fight and kick and ask questions about what it really means to do it, because we don't want to retain God in our knowledge. Lord, help us. We should be willing to embrace all of God in our knowledge. Every place in my life should be a call to what God wants in my life. What do you want of me as a minister? I got a lot of titles. I'm a minister, I'm a husband, I'm a father. Many of you the same way. Of all the different things that you can do, we have all these different places, and every one of them has definitions and a place that I ought to act in that position. How I ought to be a leader, how I ought to be loving, all these things that I ought to have. And God wants to teach us better how to do it. Lord, help us not to be self-willed and not want to retain God in our knowledge. We ought to want to retain God. What do you want in my life? What do you want me to do here? Why do you, I want, Lord, you help me to know where I should go and how I should get there. You help me in all these things in my life rather than be determined of my own will and get my own way about it. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. You know what that speaks to me? When somebody wants their way bad enough, they'll get it to the point that there will be no way to return that out of that. They have no mind, that they are to the point that they doing it and are convinced that they're right because God turns them over to that way. And then what's left? I mean, if God turns you over to something, you're turned over. I mean, How are you going to fight against that? And I listen to the news. I listen to Sister Maxine. Listen to the impurities that you hear and all those kind of things. That's coming from a reprobate society. A reprobate mind is driving that. That's why we warn our young people against the entertainments and all those things in the world. Why? Because it's reprobate. They're doing all those things and not even realizing where it's going, what it's leading to, the disaster that waits. They don't know that. They're reprobated in their minds. To put that stuff out and promote that out there, which they should be ashamed of, and they do it willingly. And they not only do it, but now it's not even in... Before, they hid it because they knew it was wrong. Now they do it not knowing it's wrong, and it's everywhere. And you look and say, they're doing it openly. Why is it so open? It's because they're reprobate. They don't even know that it's wrong anymore. It's where the society, where we're going, they're not retaining God in their knowledge to check them, to convict them, that guilt even comes in on their hearts. Lord, help us. That we don't get right here in our setting and fight God to the same point that he has to say at some point, if you want it bad enough, Balaam, you want to go? Go. You want that so bad, and I can't keep you from it. I'll turn you over to it, and you'll go and do that thing which is unseemly and can be convinced that it's right. You ever run into somebody like that? I run into people that would make arguments with me about things that was absolutely ridiculous scripturally, and they convinced that they were just as right in it as they could be. Lord, help us. Turn them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affections, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only to do the same, but have pleasure in them that do it. What a list of things that people can get to those kind of places simply because they didn't want to retain God in their knowledge to check them about the things that they do in life. That there is no check about the immediate things. Listen, folks, all of my life I had an understanding, or my saved life is that things that happen is usually not one big bombshell. It's usually incremental. It's usually a here a little, there a little, a step at a time. You get that way, you go a little bit at a time, you go those ways. But you know, eventually there's going to come a point where you resist and resist and resist and resist the workings of the Lord, that the Lord will let you have what you want. God isn't going to make you serve him. And if you don't want to bad enough, there'll come a point that all of this list of stuff, and to the world, they're rejoicing in this stuff. Fornication and all these things that are out there, and they're thinking that it's the best way to live life. Boy, this is a good time. Not seeing the disaster that awaits our nation because of it. It's hard to say what this generation and the mindset that they have, it's hard to say what a generation or two is going to bring from the fruits of that. Because we've seen down through history and what the fruits have been, and it's hard to tell what this is really going to be at the end of it. There's another scripture in Psalms I'd like to look at. 81st Psalm. This has been around a long time. There was people that against odds retained God in their knowledge. They made decisions. I think Sister Maxine mentioned it this morning about Moses. When he had come of age, he had to make a decision. And he chose rather to suffer afflictions with the people of God to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He made a choice because he retained the idea of God in his mind and heart. He retained that in his understanding that let's make the decisions based on eternity. How about that? Make the choices that we're only here for a few. We're like a vapor that appears for a little while and vanishes away. We're like a grass that comes up and then it's mowed down. We're just there for a very small. But eternity is forever and ever. We got eternity. We base the judgments that we make on the eternal. And keep God in our knowledge and understanding that, yes, I may suffer a little bit in time, but it'll go by quickly. And then we're going to face the long home. We're going to go to my long home. All eternity out there. And Moses retained God in his thinking. I'm going to tell you, ain't many people out there in the world and the decisions they're making thinking about eternity. Because they ain't retaining God in their understandings. Here in Psalm, or 81st Psalms, in the 11th verse, says, my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. So I gave them up to their own heart's lust. And they walked in their own counsels. That's what God said his part was in it. He wanted them to follow him. He wanted them to listen to his voice. And if they didn't listen, he had spoke to them. God wants to speak to each and every one of us too. But how long is he going to speak when we refuse to listen? When we refuse to hear him, we won't retain the knowledge of God. Is he going to bust through that in our will? Is he going to bust through? Is he going to slap the paper out of our hand and make it fall into the... Or is he going to make us do what we ought to do? You know, there's a point that God will say, I'm going to turn you over to your own heart's lust. If you really want your... I asked you again, do you really want your way tonight? Is your way so good? Has your way been so prosperous and so good that you really, really want your way? I wouldn't even have needed to be saved if my way would have been good. My way brought misery and heartache into my life as a very young man, and that's why I got saved. Because I'd run it to the end of what was any good, and the Lord dealt with my soul when I got saved because I didn't do it right. I'm not confident with my will. I'm not confident in getting my way. Because if I had my way in the flesh, if I had to die, which you do, if I had to die and I could choose my way, I'd live to be 100 years old and not suffer any pain during that 100 years, and I'd die in my sleep. And I'd go to heaven when I die. And that's the way I'd do it. But I don't have charge of all that. So I'm going to have to do it another way. I'm going to have to do it God's way. So that I don't make a mess of my life. So he said here in this, but my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. So I gave them up to their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsel. Oh, that my people had a hearkening to me, and Israel had walked in my ways. I should soon have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. You know, if you could take this, or at least think about it. When Israel was living before the Lord, God subdued their enemies for them. They could have even looked around and said, hey, everything's peaceful around here. Because God didn't let anybody even rise up against them. When they did, God took care of them. It isn't another nation that can overthrow a righteous nation. It's turning unrighteous that overthrows unrighteousness. Unrighteousness overthrows it, and when we turn our hearts away from it, this country turning its back on God, not retaining God in their thinking and their knowledge, is doomed. That's a prediction I can make wholeheartedly tonight, that it isn't going to be some natural thing. It may come through God's hand that way, but that's not really the basis of what it is. No nation could overcharge a people given to God. You can't do it. And that's historically in the scriptures. Israel followed that routine. When they were blessed of God, nobody could touch them. And they wouldn't even have enemies. God wouldn't even let them stir their minds up against them. God's able to do that. I'm going to tell you though, when we start turning our backs on God, God can allow anything to come in. I think we ought to retain God in our knowledge, in our thinking, in our decision making. Well, we can't preach the whole world tonight. Can't preach the whole country. Preach to one little congregation. But we need to keep God in our thinking tonight. We need to realize how much we need the Lord. He said Israel wouldn't listen to him. They did not want to retain God. But a lot of people look at God as he is a restrictor to me. I can't do a lot of things that my heart's passion is because of this God thing. There's rules to God. There's commandments
to God. There's things that God desires and the things God, that's all true. And every one of them is good. And everything that God requests of us is for our own welfare, our own good, our meaningful, and it is a blessing to our lives because God knows what the end of the matter is in these things. That's why people don't want to retain God in their knowledge. And you know, the fact of it is that there's many religions out there that don't retain God in their knowledge. It's called religion. It's called Christianity. And then they make all these places in there to where I can do my will. All I have to do is pay penance to it. All I have to do is pay some money to the priest and he'll forgive me for it. But I still get to do what I want to do in the flesh. Others will see it in a way that says that you can do anything you want to as long as you ask the Lord to forgive you. At some point in your life, you can commit any kind of hideous sin that you want to and you'll still be saved. Folks, that's a lie. That's a lie that the devil concocted to give people their way and their will, still saying that I'll do my thing, and yet I can claim something of God in it. That is a destroyer of homes and families, and it's a destructive of the congregation. It's a sinful, nasty way. Lord, help us. It isn't the way of God. The way of God is for us to yield ourselves to the Lord because we love Him. Because we want to do it. We want to make it. I want to give it. So I give my heart. You don't have to pump me or prime me. All you got to do is let me know. All I got to do is find out that this is something that my Savior wants. And Lord, that's what I want to do. Because I want to please the Lord. Oh, let's look at another passage. Oh, this is in very familiar scripture in Matthew 26th chapter. Twenty-six and 36 of Matthew. Then cometh Jesus with them unto the place called Gethsemane, and said unto his disciples, Sit ye here while I go pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. You know, I really believe that these kind of passages are put in the scriptures for us. I mean, Jesus was the Son of God. This shows humanity how to deal with God. This is a very vivid, it's very visual to me of how to deal with God in these kind of places. It's a right of every saint to run into a conflict and ask God to remove it, isn't it? Isn't it a right of every child of God to go to the Father? With the things that touches our lives, that can disturb our lives? Isn't it a great privilege to be able to go to the Father? I had an earthly father that was very good to me, but not like this one is. He makes the comparison. So everyone, that we have that right to go and say, can this cup be removed? I've prayed it myself. Lord, can you remove this? Is this a necessary thing? This is painful. It's emotional. It's hurtful. Lord, can you move it? I considered Paul a very spiritual man, and he got a thorn in the flesh, and he sought the Lord 3 times to move it out of the way. It was the privilege of a son of God to do it, child of God, to make such requests of the Lord. But the Lord showed us something beyond it. There's something beyond that and holding on. And listen, I know there's a holding on of faith sometimes. God can do something when you have faith in Him. I know there is a battle of faith sometimes. But the greater faith, many times, is going into the idea of God's perfect will. And me connecting with God's perfect will for my life. What am I supposed to be? What am I supposed to do? Connecting to that and not being self-willed about it. I can still be self-willed in the idea that I'm praying and holding on to God. And Lord, I will demand nothing less than you answer this way. I've seen that happen. I'm going to hang on to faith, and you made a promise, Lord, and you're going to answer it this way. But God didn't answer it that way. But there's a greater faith, folks. There's a greater faith to believe that God's way is best. Heart, cease thy struggling to see and know and understand. Faith, have trust and faith and confidence in God that's able to go beyond that. Jesus did. Jesus had a request before the Father. Father, is it possible that this cup be removed? Will you remove it? Didn't he ask him to move it? But he went farther for us, folks, so we would know and understand how in these kind of times, the greater portion. Nevertheless, not my will, which would be to remove the cup in the flesh. None of us want to suffer. And it's right that we don't. But, not my will, but thy perfect will be done. What a thought. No longer self-willed or independent or determined of my own lust. Not one that God gives over to the passions and desires of my own thoughts and ways. But one that said, not my will, but thy will be done in my life. I'm going to tell you, there's the victory of the saints right there. Because we don't have no power or strength or ability to do anything. But God through us can do all things. Jesus said, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto his disciples and findeth them asleep and saith unto Peter, what could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit is indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith to them, sleep on now. Take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand. Now, I think there's a lesson in there for us. I don't pretend to assume that this is always obtained with just a one-time thing. I think there is places in life. Jesus prayed 3 times for this victory, and he was good at praying. I mean, he was the one that taught us how to do it. He was good at it. He knew where he come from. His faith was not yielding or bending. And he still prayed 3 times. To gain the victory of it, to get this, I'm telling you, one of the hardest things we're going to have to pray for to win the victory over is the submitting of our wills. Our total consecration to God, our surrender into his hands. I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is a reasonable service. It's hard. It's hard sometimes to get to that place where you can yield your thoughts, your mind, your imagination, all that into God. It's hard sometimes. Sometimes it takes prayer. And you get up from that prayer saying, that was pretty good. You find that didn't work. I didn't get I'm there again. It takes an effort and energy to do it. It's not always easy. It's not always one time. It's going on and going on to gain it many times. I want to encourage us to do what Jesus did if we have to. I've had times to where I went and prayed over a matter and it was done. The Lord witnessed to me and the power was there. It was done. And I've had events in my life that I've prayed dozens of times over. Literally, I've had to pray dozens of times to get the victory over that thing. It took a day. I didn't get it. I'd get a portion, I'd get some grace, and go and find that the thing pops back up again and again. I had somebody, probably heard the story, I had somebody that had a gun to my head and abused me kind of roughly, and the Lord protect me and all of it. But I'm going to tell you, I had fought that thing many, many, many times when the idea would come back of bitterness or a thought of revenge or any of that kind of stuff. You know, it wasn't easy. I thought I had a real victory over to start with, and then about a day later in the night, we was traveling, and we were going. All of a sudden, in the middle of the night, and everything's quiet, and thoughts started replaying things in my mind. All of a sudden, I found out I didn't have victory. I didn't have the victory I thought I had to keep wearing. The old devil's there to whisper stuff in your ear. You don't have to do that. And then, you know, I will tell you, so it's like Job sometimes. Then other people will suggest this to you religiously. You didn't do this. And then even your own friends, I wouldn't have done it that way, and this and that. It's all a battle, though, to commit that thing. Lord, I believe the Lord allowed it. I believe the Lord had it for a reason. I believe God's big enough to protect me until the day he wants to take me out of here. I really believe it. And God has proven that to be true. My duty is not to take care of everything in life. My duty, responsibility, is to commit myself to the Lord. Submit myself into his hands. That he's able to use my life in any way he wants it. If the Lord so chooses a course for my life, I pray that I'm big enough, that I'm yielded enough to be able to accept God's will in my life. It isn't always easy to accept it. It's like the guy that come to the Lord, the scribe that come to the Lord and said, Master, I'll go with you whithersoever you go. Well, sure. He just fed the 5,000, plenty to eat. He can perform miracles. Storm comes up, he calms them. Why not serve him? But the Lord said back to him, foxes have holes and the birds have nests. Son of man don't even have a place to lay his head down. And you know, that was the end of that. I always wondered, that ended kind of abruptly there. I think it was a guy that misspoke. In my mind, I think the guy misspoke and he said, no, wait a minute. I meant the loaves and the fishes. Not laying your head down. It's not something I wanted. But thy will be done, Lord. Thy will be done. Lord, help us tonight that we not be self-willed and self-determined. Oh, another scripture. I'm going to end with this one. See, in Hebrews 5. Hebrews 12, sorry. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about, this is in 12 and 1, with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradictions of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. You know, sometimes the scripture gives contradictions of suffering. Is suffering mentioned in the scriptures any for the saints? Is there anything does the scripture say anything about persecution? Does it give us any negative things? You know, there's people out there that want to kind of promote the gospel by telling them a false story. That none of those things are there. You serve the Lord and you'll have a mansion and a car, and if you give enough money, you can have anything you want. And I've heard that kind of stuff. There was one guy that he was taking in $1 million a week, this guy was. Telling people that if you send me your money, God will bless you. And he got people convinced to send his money because you can't outgive God. And the more you give me in God's name, the richer you'll become. And people try to find their fortune in this world by giving their money. Folks, you ain't going to get God's fortune in this world. God wants us to prosper, be in health, even if it's our soul prospering. That's not what God's after. That's misguided. God wants us to have it right in our hearts. God wants us to have our souls right. Lord, help us. This passage of Scripture, all these things, contradiction of sinners against himself. But it tells us, and it's great advice, it says, for consider him
I'm going to tell you something. Retaining God in your knowledge means considering Him. Considering the lover of my soul. Considering Christ and what He'd want. Considering what He died to bring to me. Let's not shortchange the Lord, folks. The Lord didn't die to bring us some wishy-washy salvation that left us in a gutter. He came to give us that He would grant unto us that we being delivered out of the hands of our enemies might serve Him. How does it say that? I bungled that a little. That's in Luke. Luke 1. Without fear and holiness and righteousness before Him all of our days of our life. Luke
1:72.
Yeah, 73. No, I'll get there. I mean, I want to get that one.
1:74. And here we granted us that we being delivered out of the hand of our enemies might serve Him without fear and holiness and righteousness before Him all the days of our life.
All right, that don't sound like a loss of victory to me. That we would serve in holiness and righteousness before Him all the days of our life. That's victory. Don't shortchange it and accept the lesser. Except an idea that I don't have to retain God because He brought us something that's powerful and rich, and He wants us to be able to live that way before Him. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.